Today's shiur is Masechtas Kedushin Daf Samach Gimel. We will begin on Daf Samach Beis on the base, four lines from the bottom. We had learned in the previous shiur, we had discussed the concept of Ein Adam Makna Dovah Shlo Bola Olam, something that is in existence you can't do a kinyan with. But we also had learned at the end of the shiur the opinion of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, who said that we can do some sort of a transaction. We could take off truma on payers of produce that essentially don't exist yet. So comments Abaya, Amr Abaya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Rameya, Kula Sfir Luhu, they are all of the opinion that Dona Makna Dovah Shlo Bola Olam. You can't do a kinyan on Dovah Shlo Bola Olam. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, as I just mentioned, Hoda Maron, we learned at the end of the previous year. And as I spoke about at the end of yesterday's year, it's not exactly clear how far Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov takes his position that Adam Makna Dovah Shlo Bola Olam. Because as we learned at the end of the shiur, it wasn't that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said you could take truma even on produce that doesn't exist at all. It has to have some status of existence, albeit we learned different opinions, it could be a very minute existence. So as we mentioned, there's a shaila how to understand Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion. Doesn't mean that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that even that you have to have, it's not pure Adam Makna Dovah Shlo Bola Olam, it has to have some minute existence, or is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov saying that even if it has no existence, Adam Makna Dovah Shlo Bola Olam, truma, given that you can't, it has its own rule, that it has to have its minute existence. Rebbe, the Tanya, the Pasuk says, L'sazgir Eved Al Adonav. So Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk is that if an Eved Kanani was freed, you shouldn't turn him over to his owner. But that's difficult to explain the Pasuk that way, because of course if he was freed, he's freed. Why would you want to, and why should anybody think that you could turn him over to his owner? So Rebbe Omer, Rebbe says, what is the Pasuk referring to? But Lekeach Eved Amnas L'Shachar HaKos Medaber. When we bought the Eved, and when we bought him, we stipulated, I'm going to buy you and free him. And as the Gemara says, Hey Chidami, what does that mean? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Kegoyin the cost of lay, he wrote to the Eved, as he bought the Eved, Lik She'echecha, when I will eventually purchase you, Hare Atzmecha Koneloch Me'achshav. I'm already freeing you. So when he's freeing him, he's not yet my Eved. Yet I'm freeing him, obviously, Adam Makna Dovah Shlo Bola Olam. Asked Mefarshim, we just quoted this thing in the previous year, the halacha is, the pasuk says, lo'olam behem tavoidu. And that's why the din is, the osl odom l'shachar ever kanani. A person is not supposed to free his ever kanani. So how could the Torah speak about a person who frees his ever kanani, buys him and says, I'm going to free you, that the halacha is that he has to free him, isn't he being over an isser of lo'olam behem tavoidu? So Mefarshim answer, very interesting answer. When does the din of Osla Adam L'Shachar Eved Kanani apply? Is if I have an Eved Kanani who's working for me, I'm not allowed to free him. Here we're dealing with a situation that this Eved Kanani never began working for me, because I stipulated before I even bought him that I'm going to free you as soon as I buy you. And there the din of Lo'olam Behem Tavoidu doesn't apply. The Mefarshim also asked, why did he have to articulate his statement to him, Hare Atzmecha Koniloch Mi'achshav? Why does it have to be Mi'achshav? And why can't it be that when I buy you, I'll automatically free you? Why does it have to be that he's freeing him before he even bought him, Mi'achshav? So I sort of reshine him answer a number of terutzim. One terutz is, we know, we learned Masech Gittin, the way an Eved Kanani is freed is by writing a Shtar Shichur. So what would be if he wrote the Shtar Shichur today? He doesn't own the Eved Kanani yet. And by the time he buys the Eved Kanani, the Shtar Shichur is lost or destroyed. So then the Shtar Shichur would be useless. But if he uses the words Mi'achshav, it won't make a difference if the Shtar Shichur is no longer in existence when he actually buys the Eved Kanani. Another pshat is, let's say he made this deal with the Eved Kanani. I'm going to buy you and free you. And before he buys him, he changes his mind. He doesn't want to buy him and free him. So if he says the words me'achshav, he doesn't have the ability to retract. But if he doesn't say the word me'achshav, he has the ability to retract till he actually buys him. So here we see again, the Rebbe says you can make a deal over something you don't even own yet. Rebbe Meir, the Tanya. These are the cases that we learned in our Mishnah. A guy says, I'm going to make a Kedushin that should be effective after I'm a Geir, or Lachash des Geiri, after you become a Geir Yoris, Lachash des Tachrer, and of a Kanani, after I will become free, Lachash des Tachri, after the Shifra Kananis will become free, Lachash Shom Spalich, he says to a married woman, I'm making Kedushin with you now after your husband passes away, Lachash Thomas Achoyseich, he's married to a sister, or he was married to a sister, that he can't make Kedushin with a Chayis Ishtar as long as his wife is alive. After you go through Yibam, Enim HaKadoshis. In all these situations, the Kedushin is not a Kedushin. For as we learned in the Mishnah and in the Gemara yesterday, it's a Davash Lo B'Loilam. Ramei Aymer HaKadoshis. Why? Because he's not concerned with the issue of Ein Adam Makna Davash Lo B'Loilam. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler Aymer, Enim HaKadoshis. Again, Ein Adam Makna Davash Lo B'Loilam. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Aymer, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, in principle, agrees with Rameya, the Mukadeshis, because he isn't concerned with the fact that it's a Dovash Lobel Oilam. However, Matam Omer Enim Mukadeshis, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi does agree that in two situations, the Rabbanan said that the Kedushin would not be effective. What are the two situations? One is, if somebody approaches an Ashes Ish, a married woman, and tells her, I'm being Mekadosh you after your husband dies. It doesn't really do much for Shalom Bayis. So Chazal said that, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi says, that Kedushin shouldn't be effective. And another situation, again, Shalom Bayis issue, if somebody approaches his wife's sister and he tells her that after my wife dies, I'll marry you. Also isn't conducive for Shalom Bayis. So in those two situations, says Rabbi Yehuda, Umatam Amru Enim Kadeshis, what did Chazal say in those two situations, that even though Adam Makna Dovash Lobel Oilam, here the Kedushin should not be effective, it's only because of Eva. It's, as we said, the Shalom Bayis issue. So ask the Gemara, if Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, in the other situations, agrees to the concept that other Makna Dovash Lobel Oilam. So when we began our shiur today, and Abaye is giving us the list of Tanoim that subscribe to the concept of other Makna Dovash Lobel Oilam, why didn't he include Rabbi Yehuda Anasi on the list? Answers the Gemara. Omatam V'nachshav Nam Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Why didn't Abaye include Rabbi Yehuda Anasi on the list? Says the Gemara, he did. Because Hein Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Rebbe and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi are really the same. So by putting Rebbe on the list, obviously it's the same as Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Ask the Gemara, V'nachshav Nami Rabbi Kiva, why doesn't Abaye also include Rabbi Kiva on his list? The Tanya. We learned in a Braisa, Koidim Shani Oysa Lepicha, if somebody makes a neder, that if a woman makes a neder, that what she earns, her husband may not benefit from, ain't a tzarech lahafer. He doesn't have to be made for it. Why? Because as we learned in Masechta Ksubis, what a wife earns is anyway belongs to the husband. So the wife doesn't have the ability to make a nether over something that isn't hers. It belongs to him. V'kiv Oimer, he should be made for. Yefer. Shemet hadaf alav yesim in aroyloi. As we learned in Masechet Ksubis, even though Chazal said that there is an amount that a wife has, if she earns that amount, she has to turn over to a husband, but if she makes more than that, she can keep it for herself. So now, says Rabbi Kiva, the husband should be made for the nether, because she may earn more than the required amount, which she's entitled to keep, and then the husband can't benefit from it, and therefore he should be made for that nether. As Tosfos in the Rishonim, the halacha is that a husband can only be made from the darim beino lebeino, that affect their relationship. So the question is, this doesn't affect their relationship. So how does the husband even have a right to be made for this neder? So I saw a number of answers in the Rishonim. One answer to the Rishonim is a fairly simple one. It's very hard to determine, to distinguish, this is the amount that she earns that the husband's entitled to, and this is extra that he's not entitled to. And it's very easy that he'll cross the line, and he'll have hanor from what he's not allowed to. So that's why it's considered Tvarim Beino Lebeino. That's one answer. Another answer is that even though the halacha, as we just said, the Gemara teaches us in Masechet Ksubis, is that if she earns more than the prescribed amount, she gets to keep it. What does that mean that she gets to keep it? That he's allowed to take those earnings, buy property with those earnings, that she will own the property, and he'll get the produce. So he does have some relationship to these money, and therefore it's something that's beino lebeino that he can be made for. A third teretz that I saw, an interesting teretz, is usually what does a woman do when she has money? She buys jewelry, she buys nice clothing, she buys other things like that, and he, if he's not allowed to have hanah from it, won't be able to enjoy that his wife dresses up. And therefore, it's considered beino lebeino. But what do we see from here? She hasn't yet made this money, right? And yet, Rabbi Kiva says, the neder is chal, and he should be made for it. So obviously, Rabbi Kiva holds that you could make stipulations even regarding things that are shlobo la'olam that don't exist yet. Says the Gemara, Hitmala. We learned the Gemara says Masecht in the Darim. Omer of Huna Bereid Rav Yeshua. How did she articulate the neder? She articulated the neder by Meres Yukachu Yodei Lo Yaseyem. She spoke that her hands should be like Hegdish. That's what the Rishonim explained. That her hands should be Lo Yaseyem means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you're Daim, it's Nubaylam. So it was a neder on a Dover Habala Oilam. It's not a situation of a Dover Shlobala Oilam. Says the Mishnah, Hay Malisha, somebody says to a woman, Hare at Mukadeshasli, Amanas, Shadava Lech L'Shilton, on the condition that I will speak on your behalf to the government, or Ve'eslim Chakapayel, I'll work for you, Diba Lech L'Shilton, if he indeed fulfills his condition and he speaks on her behalf to the government, or Osim Chakapayel, he did what he said he'll work for her, then Mukadeshas. Vimlav, but he doesn't fulfill his obligation in the Mekadeshes. So the Rishonim asked the obvious question, what is this Mishnah teaching us that we don't know? If you make a deal, you have to keep your part of the deal. Yeah, yeah, no, no. What is the Mishnah teaching us that's new here? So the Taisus HaRosh says a very nice pshat. He says, he spoke to the government on her behalf. He did the job. But she says, that's not what I meant. I meant that you should speak to, you should do the job differently, or you should speak to a different government office. And therefore, it's not considered you fulfilled the job. Teaches us the Mishnah that as long as he fulfilled the job as an average person would expect the job to be fulfilled, it's considered that he fulfilled his condition, and he fulfilled his condition, and we have a condition. And if not, not. That's one way of learning it. Another way of learning it, similar, is as follows. She asked him to speak to the government on her behalf. That doesn't mean he's going to succeed. So he spoke to the government, but he wasn't successful. She asked him to accomplish something as a worker, and he wasn't successful. So she says, you didn't fulfill the condition. What do I have from you, from what you did? You didn't accomplish. And he says, I did what I was supposed to do. The fact that I wasn't successful doesn't mean I didn't do my job. And that's why the Mishnah teaches us that she can't say that he didn't fulfill his condition, and we have a condition. However, there's another pshat, which actually is what Rish Lakish is teaching us. Teaches us Rish Lakish, that just because he made this stipulation and he fulfilled the stipulation does not mean that we have a condition. What we also have to have that on top of fulfilling the condition, he also has to give her a pruta to affect the kedushin. Now explained the Rishonim, we could understand what the Mishnah is teaching us. Because if we wouldn't have the Mishnah, we would think that just fulfilling the condition alone creates a kedushin. Teaches us the Mishnah that fulfilling the condition alone is not adequate, and now we're going to learn the Gemara why. You also have to actually give a pruta in addition to fulfilling the stipulation. Ask the Gemara, ubescha loy, for doing what he did. That's and deserving to be paid and not getting paid. That can't create a kedushin. Ask the Gemara of Otanya, learned in a braisa, if somebody says to a woman, b'schar shechavticha lachamor, I took you on the wagon, or b'svino, I took you on the ship, and I'm a kedushin. That is not a way to affect the kedushin. She owes him for that service, but you can't create a kedushin that way, because we've learned so many times that I'm a kaddish b'milva and a mekadeshes. So it's not a valid way of creating kedushin. However, if he said b'schar shakifcha lechamar, I will take you on the donkey. Shashivcha b'kron, I will take you on the wagon. Or b'svino, I will take you on the ship. Mekadeshes. So we see that he doesn't have to give any money. Just fulfilling his obligation is enough. V'chitemen, if you'll suggest, hachinami b'diyavla shava pruta, that he's actually going to give a pruta on top of it. Says the Gemara, that's not what the Braisa says. V'avashakama, just for that payment is enough to create a kedushin. Furthermore, asked the Gemara, v'atanya, we learned in a Braisa, if somebody says, sheva mi v'tzafsa, act as a companion with me. Vakadish lach. Schoik lefonai. Do some sort of jesting in front of me. Rikoid lefonai. Dance in front of me. Asay kedimus hazeh. Or make some sort of a repair in my home. Shaman. We evaluate. Im yesh bo shav pruta. If the job that he did on her behalf is worth a pruta, we have a kedushin. V'ilav. If it's not worth a pruta, then the halach is enem kedushes. And again, ask the Gemara. V'chitei, perhaps you'll say, hachnami b'diyavla shava pruta, that in addition to him fulfilling his condition, he gave a pruta. Says the Gemara, we can't understand the b'raisa that way. For the b'raisa says, v'shamar isokamer, we just assess the value of the job. And if the value of the job that he did is a pruta, we have a valid kedushin. So don't we have, asked the Gemara, to yufta the Reish Lakish, a refutation of Reish Lakish? Reish Lakish says that in addition to doing the job, he has to give a pruta. From these braises, we clearly see just fulfilling the stipulation, if that has a value of a pruta, you don't have to add another pruta. Answers the Gemara, Amlach Reish Lakish, Haitana Bara, Savar, Eina L'Schiris El L'B'Saif, V'tana D'Don Savar Yesh L'Schiris V'Tchil V'Atsaif. Says Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish refers back to a machloikis that we discussed on Daf Memches. The Gemara on Daf Memches discussed how do we view the wages that an employee is entitled to. And again, as we said when we learned that Gemara, certainly everybody agrees actual payment to an employee, you don't have to pay him every minute for what he did. You could pay him at the end of the day, at the end of the week, whatever the terms are. Furthermore, we said when we learned that sugya, if I hire a worker to work for a day and he ends up only working a half a day and walks out, I have to pay him for that half a day of work. Here the question is, the question that the Gemara is discussing, is what are the mechanics of how we pay an employee? One way of looking at it, yeshtan l'schiris metchil v'atsoif. Every time he did a shava pruta of work, he earns the pruta. And then they accumulate until the end, and he pays what he has to pay. If that's the way we look at the employee earning his wages, so it's a situation of a milva. It becomes a chayv. And as I said earlier, hamkadosh b'milva ain't a mekadoshes. The other opinion holds, I'm not entitled to any payment until I finish the job, or until I finish the term. If that's the case, so it's not a chayv. And that, says Reish Lakish, is the machloikis between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah holds that yeshna l'schiris metchila v'atsoif. So we have a situation that the work that he did on behalf of the wife is a chayv, and a mekadesh b'milva, and a mekadeshes. So that's why he has to give a pruta on top of the work that he has to do. However, the Braisa holds, Ein l'schiris el l'psoif, and therefore he could pay at the end, and the money that he's owed at the end of the job will be the Kesef Kedusha. Ask the Gemara, my duk kedere shlokish luk min l'masnisen. El b'yesh n'l'schiris mitchil v'atsoif. What? Ask the Gemara. Forces Rish Lakish to explain that the Mishnah holds of the opinion of Yesh Nalaschiris Mitchil Vatsoif. And therefore, as Rish Lakish began this Gemara, we have to explain that the Mishnah is referring to a situation, but the Yohav law, that on top of giving, on top of doing what he promised to do, he also gave a pruta. Why don't we just explain that the Mishnah holds Ein Laschiris El L'Psoif, and he doesn't have to give the pruta. Answers Rava, Masnis and Kishisa. What forced Rish Lakish into this pshat is the wording of the Mishnah. The wording of the Mishnah is, my iri the Tani Almanas. Why did the Mishnah use the words Almanas? Nisni, the Mishnah should have used the same wording as the Braisa, which the Braisa says, Beschar, in payment for what you did for me. Al Shema Mino, it must be that the Mishnah, which specifically used this wording, was coming to teach us that on top of fulfilling his obligation, he also gave her a pruta. Says the Mishnah, Amnas Shiyirtso Abba, if a son says to a woman, I'm prepared to marry you on the stipulation my father agrees, Rotso Abba Mekudashas, Vlavein Mekudashas. And in Mitzvah Shem, in a moment, we're going to learn the Gemara that's going to explain exactly what did he mean with this condition. But although it's worth mentioning that I saw that the Paiskim discuss, the Mishnah speaks about a case that a son clearly indicates that he's only going to be Mekadosh the woman if he gets his father's consent. Question is, in general, is one obligated to get it, this is a difficult shaila, is one obligated to get his father's consent to marry? In other words, let's say somebody wants to marry someone and his parents are not satisfied, don't like the shidduch. What's the din? So the Paiskim say, if we're dealing with a godel, we're dealing with an adult has a mitzvah to marry, get married, an adult has a mitzvah to marry whom he wants, and he doesn't have to listen to his parents if they don't want him to marry the girl. The Sefer Chassidim says if it brings shame to the family, perhaps the halacha is differently. I also saw that Rav Ozna in the Shaila Sechuva Shevet Alevi says that he never is willing to paskin that when a boy comes to him and says he wants to marry someone and his parents are against it, he's never willing to paskin go ahead and marry her. The question is much more complicated when it comes to a girl. If a girl wants to marry someone and her parents don't like the shidduch, there it's a much more complicated shidduch question. Because as we learned the Gemara in Masechta Yevamos, a woman is not obligated in the mitzvah Purur Revu, but she is obligated in the mitzvah of Kibbut Aveim. So perhaps, if her parents don't want her to marry a person, she does have a chiv to get married, but she does have an obligation to respect the parents, and there it's much more complicated shaila. David Shtashrapu should never have such shailas. Meisa Av, continues the Mishnah, Harezu Mukudeshes. So begins the Gemara. My amanash yir tzava. The Mishnah began that the husband made a stipulation that my father agrees. What does that mean? Ilema ad oba abi in. Until my father consents. So here there's a machlokes rishonim. What does the Gemara mean? The Rashba says what the Gemara means. That any time my father says yes, he could have heard about the shidduch today, and he only says yes a month later, a year later. For whenever he says yes, the shidduch will be retroactively valid. The Ritva disagrees. It can't be that, you know, he could decide whenever and retroactively make a shidduch, make it valid. And that's what the Ritva, and that's the pshat that we'll learn the Gemara with, says that it means that the first time my father hears about the shidduch, he has to consent. If he consents, we have it. If not, not. Ask the Gemara if that's the way we're going to understand the Mishnah. What was the next case of the Mishnah? The Meis or Av, if the father passes away, Harezim Mukadeshes. Ask the Gemara, why is she Mukadeshes? We're saying that the son's condition was that the father has to expressly consent. The father never said yes. Ella, how must we understand the case of the Mishnah? As long as my father hears about the shidduch, and when he hears about it, he doesn't protest, we got a shidduch. Ask the Gemara, Eima Sefer, let's continue the Sefer. What was the last case? Meisa ben, if the son dies, melamdim sa'av loimishen eroitza. We tell the father to protest. Ask the Gemara for my hashasik. He already agreed to the shidduch. And we just said, as long as he agrees when he hears about the shidduch, you can't change your mind. So why do we tell the father to change, to say he's protesting? It's too late. Ask Tosis, maybe the case of the Mishnah is referring to a case that the father never heard about the shidduch before the son passed away, and now the son passes away, and he becomes aware of the shidduch, so we tell him protest to help this amana, or maybe potential amana, from not having to have yibam mechalitza. Says the Tosis Yeshanim, the wording of the Mishnah of melamdim ha'av seems to indicate, says the Tosfos Yeshanim, that the father was aware of the shidduch before the son passed away. And therefore, it's a difficult way of understanding the Mishnah. Other Rishonim answer the question of the Tosfos Yeshanim, that our Mishnah is referring to all situations, whether the father heard before the son passed away, or whether the father only became aware of the shidduch after he passed away. To limit the Mishnah, they say, Tosfos Rosh says, to limit the Mishnah that's only referring to one case, doesn't seem that that's what the Mishnah is saying. Ella, so again, we have to redefine the Mishnah. Ella, how do we have to explain the last two cases of the Mishnah? Amnas shloyim che'aba, that my father doesn't protest. As long as my father protests, and any time that my father protests, we'll have a shidduch. So now, let's understand the Mishnah. The first case of the Mishnah was, Amanashi Yirtza Abba, means as long as my father is quiet, then we'll have a shidduch. So now we can understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, Ratzav, if he's quiet, Mekadeshes. Loi Ratza, Vimlav, if he wasn't quiet, that means he protested, ain't a Mekadeshes. Now the Mishnah switches gears. And now the Mishnah says, Amanash Loyim Chaba. And therefore, Mesoav, if the father dies, Harei Mezuk Medeshes. Why? Because the father will not ever be able to protest, because dead people have a hard time protesting. Mesav, Mesaben, the next case of the Mishnah, is Melamda Ben Loimishen Eroitza. It means that since the Mishnah is now teaching us that any time the father protests, we won't have a Kedushin, so we tell the father protest and retroactively create a situation that she was never Mekudeshes and never have Yibam Mechalitza. Wonderful way of learning the Mishnah. However, we've done something very interesting and very uncommon. What we've done is, we have four cases in the Mishnah, but they're not the same stipulation. The first two cases refer to stipulation Amnashi Yishtoik Abba. The second two cases refer to stipulation Amnash Shloyimcha Abba. Very uncommon that the Mishnah, one Mishnah, should not be consistent with one case. Says the Gemara, Reisha, the first two cases of the Mishnah are referring to B'chatama, one case, the case of Amnashi Yishtoik Abba, or Metziosa V'Sefer, and the last two cases of the Mishnah are talking about B'chatana, about a different case. Says the Gemara, Om Rav Yanai, Shema Menolid Rav Yanai, says the Gemara, from here we learn from Rav Yanai a very interesting concept. Dachkinon umakminon misnisen betray tama. It's preferable to explain that the Mishnah is switching gears and speaking about two different cases, but it'll be the opinion of one Tana, Valiva Dachat Tana, rather Veloy Makminon betray Tanoi, to say Ubachat Tana, rather than to say that the Mishnah is referring to only a case of Menashe Yirtz Abba, and to say that there's a machloikis, what that means. That the Tanakhama will say it means that the father has to remain silent, and as long as the father is silent, we have a Kedushin, and that the Tana the Sefer holds that you don't have a Kedushin as long he doesn't protest, and therefore as long as the father is alive, we never know for sure there's a Kedushin, because there's always a potential that the father will protest. That would have the Mishnah speaking about the same case, just a machloik is how to apply the case. Says Rabbi Yanai, I'd rather switch gears and say that the first two clauses of the Mishnah refer to one situation, and the last two clauses of the Mishnah refer to a different situation, rather than to create a machlokes. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Ba'ami says, I have a way of solving all the problems. La'olam chatamahu. I could say that the Mishnah is referring to one situation, but that one situation, there's one case, and that case could be applied to all four clauses of the Mishnah. Umnai amnash yirtz abba, amnash lo yimcha abba mikan v'atshloishim yoyim. My father can protest, but he only has up to 30 days to protest. So now let's learn the Mishnah with this interpretation. Amnash yirtz abba, if my father will agree, rotz av mekadeshes. If the father doesn't protest within 30 days, shall be Mekadeshes. Lav, if he protests before the 30 day is up, any Mekadeshes. Mesoav, if the father passes away, there is a Mekadeshes, because he's not going to be able to protest after he dies. Mesa ben, if the son passes away, and it's before the statute of limitations is up, it's before the 30 days come, teaches us the Mishnah, Melamdim Sav'av, we teach the father to protest, to retroactively create a situation that we never had a kedushin here, and that this girl should not have to undergo yibum or chalitza. So now we solved all our problems. We could have, says Rabbi Yosef Bar Abba, the Mishnah speaking about one case, and there's no machlokes, and everything is understandable. Says the Mishnah, kedashti yispiti. A man comes and says, I was mekadesh my daughter, v'eni yedei l'mekadeshtiya. But I forgot who's the chosin. And somebody comes and says, I'm the chosin, Neman. However, what happens if two men show up? One man says, I was the chosin. And another man says, that I was the chosin. Then the halach is, Shneim noisn get. Both of them have to give a get, because we don't know who is the real chosin. Vim rotsu, but if they want, Echa noisn get. One should give a get, vechit kindness. And the question that will remain, will leave open, and hopefully as we get into the Gemara, maybe be able to answer it, when the Mishnah says that if there were two men that show up, saying that they were the chassanim, and now Mishnah says one can give a get, and one can marry her, does he have to do a new ma'aseh kedushin? Or is the fact that one gave a get enough to teach us that certainly the other one was the real chassan, and he doesn't have to do a new ma'isa kedushin? Begins the Gemara. Amarav, neman litinget, vein neman lichnas. If somebody comes and says that I was the chassan, he's trusted to the degree that he has to give a get, because according to him, this girl is an eishes ish, and therefore he doesn't want to leave her in that situation for life, and therefore he could give a get. Ve'ena neman lichnas. But he can't be believed when he says that I am truly a husband and he should believe her and he should remain married to her. Neman litinget, why do we trust him as far as getting a get? Ein adam chayta v'loy loy. He has nothing to gain. He's not getting a wife. He's not getting a wife. He's only getting that he has to give her a divorce. So since he has no gain, therefore, he gives a get. There is an interesting machloikas rishonim. So he gives a get. What will be the din after he gives a get? Could he be the man that will marry her? Some rishonim say, once she gets the get, she's like any other woman, and anyone can marry her, including this man. The Rambam seems to say that he will never be allowed to marry her, Because if we will leave him the opportunity to marry her, we're concerned that he's going to come and say that she was my wife, and then he's going to give her a get. And, you know, it's hard to get a divorcee married off. So we're concerned, according to the Rambam, that he's going through this whole charade just to get her to be his wife, and therefore he should never, according to the Rambam, be allowed to marry her. I saw an interesting vart from the Ksav Sofer. We know the famous Gemara. The Gemara says that the Ger came to Hillel and asked him to teach him the Kol HaTorah Kula Regalachas. So Hillel told him, Madalach Sani L'Chavrich L'Savid. What you don't want, don't do to your friend. He says, what's Pshat? He says, Pshat's like this. He says, of course, a person shouldn't do an Aveira. But a lot of times, a person, the Yetzirah prevails over us. And he can't succumb. He's going to do an Aveira. Why is he going to do an Aveira? Because he's going to enjoy doing the Aveira. But if every time a person were to do an Aveira, he would recognize that Klal Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, we're all connected. So if I'm doing an Aveira and I'm getting enjoyment, so I'm willing to take the consequences. I'll do the enjoyment and I'll get the punishment. But you are only going to get the punishment and no enjoyment. And our Gemara just said, Ein Adam Chayte V'Loy Loy. Don't do an Aveira that you have nothing from doing the Aveira. Madalach Sani L'Chavrach L'Savid. Remember that your friend is going to get punished with no enjoyment. That should prevent you from doing an Aveira. But we can't trust him to marry this woman because we're concerned that he's doing it because his Yetzahara, this is the way that he feels they could get to live with this woman. If he comes and says that this is I'm the man that the father was Mekadosh the girl to, we trust him. Why? Because he's concerned, he's worried that he's playing a very dangerous game here. The father may say, you're not the man I ever chose. So if he's saying it, we believe him. However, says Rav Asi, or Maider of Asi, Vemeres Niskadashti. It's not the girl's father. It's the girl alone who says, Niskadashti, I got married. Ve'eni Yodas, Lami Niskadashti. I don't remember who the chassan was. And then a man shows up and says, I was the chassan. She'enem Nuchnas. That even Rav Asi agrees, we can't trust him. Why? Because we're worried that the girl, even though she recognizes that this is the man that she never married, is still going to say, you know what? He is the man. Because she recognizes that she's in a very precarious situation. And she doesn't want to be left in this aguna situation, this precarious situation for the rest of her life. So she plays along. But she's really married to someone else. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, if two men show up, so said the Mishnah, Echad Noisen Get, Vechad Koines, once you give a get, and once you marry her. Ask the Gemara to Yufta the Rav, isn't this a clear refutation of Rav? Because Rav says the men are believed that they could give a get, but they're not believed to marry her. Answers Rav, Amuch Rav, Shani Hasam. When did I say the halacha says Rav? When one man showed up. So I'm concerned that he's trying to figure out a way to get this woman to be his wife. But here, where two men show up, the kivin the ikar acha bahadei, where there's another man with him, er susei marasis. He's concerned that the father is going to know which one is saying the truth and which one is lying. So now maybe we could answer the shaila that we asked when we learned the Mishnah. Since we have two men in the Mishnah, so the truth always comes out, and the man who says that I'm the real man, I'm the real husband, and the other one says I'm not, that turns out to be the truth, and then we won't have to do a new Maisa Kedushin. Says the Gemara, Tanya Kavosei Dravasi, Kedashti Espiti, we learned in the Braisa, a father says I was Mekadosh my daughter, Veni Yedele Mi Kedashti, and I don't know who the husband is, or Ba Acher Vay Mekadashti, and another man shows up and says I was the husband, Af Nemen Lichnais. Clearly like Rav Asi said, Kunsa, so he marries her. And now, another man shows up and says, I was the husband. Once we believed him, we trust him all the way. However, continues the Braisa in teaching us. It's not the father. It's the woman herself who says Niskadashti. V'eini yodas l'mi Niskadashti. I forgot who I married. Or bro achav omer ani kadashti. I am the husband. Here even Rav Asi agrees that ain't a nemen lichnais. Why? As we explained earlier, she doesn't want to be left in this precarious situation, and she'll say, yeah, it's the husband, when it's really not. Ask the Gemara. Iboiluhu. Mau liskol al yadoi. A man comes and says, I'm the husband. Do we allow, will we give skila if she has relations with someone else? Rav Amma ain't cycling. Rav Amma cycling. Rav Amma ain't cycling. Ki am hemne rechmon alav. To what degree do we trust the father? Lisura, that she be considered an eshes ish. Look, tell us to start killing people. Loi hemne. Rav Asi omer cycling. We do. He didn't give skila. Look, kula milse hemne rechmon alav. If the father says yes, this was the man, he has complete namonis. Omer Rav Asi. Says Rav Asi. Even though I hold that if the father says, I was Mekadosh, my daughter, and then a man shows up and says, and I forgot who the man was, and then the man shows up and says, I was the man. We trust him to the degree that he's considered the man, the husband, that if she, chas v'shalom, has an adulterous relationship, she'll be chuyiv skila. But in a case of maris niskadashti, if a girl says, I married a man, and he shows up, she ain't cycling. That we won't consider her an Eishes Ish to the degree that she has a relationship with someone else, that she be Mechuyev Skila. However, comments of Asi, Omer of Asi, Hanishmatzadi, what I just said, Merafsin Igri. Merafsin Igri is a wording that the Gemara uses many times when it's something difficult to sell. It shatters the roof. It's difficult to absorb. Because why? Hashta. Umabimokim Shabar Lichnes Kainis. The case where a father says, I married off my daughter. I don't remember who the chassan is. The halach is, if somebody shows up, according to Rav Asi, and says, I am the chassan, we let them get married. So, amrit, cycling. So obviously, the original relationship that the father created is a weak relationship. Because we let a man show up and say, I'm the chassan, and we believe him. So, yet tells us Rav, that it's such a, yet teaches us the Braisa, that it's so strong, that we consider her an Eishes Ish, that if she has an adulterous relationship, she's Mechuyev Misa. Makom Shabar Lichnes, Enekainis. In the case where a man shows up, we don't trust him. So obviously her marriage is a much stronger marriage, asks Rav Asi. Enedin Shasaiklin, if she has an adulterous relationship, if she has a relationship with another man, she's Mechuyev Skila. Why? So if anything, asks Rav Asi, in the case where she says she's married, but she doesn't remember, she should be considered more of an Eishes Ish, and more of a mukhiyev eskila than the case where it's the father, says the Gemara, it doesn't work with logic. V'lohi. La'av himnei rechmona. The Torah gives an amonis to the father. But it's an amonis that the Torah only gives to the father, l'udei lo himna, not to the girl herself. V'chizdama, achetzeh ve'echetzeh ain't cycling. We never consider her an eishes ish to the degree that we give her skila, because as the v'chizda l'tamei, dam v'chizda, Beniza, if a man shows up and says, my son is ben teisha shana v'yom echad, he's 9 years old. And therefore, we know the bia of a 9-year-old is considered a bia, that if he had bia with an eishes ish, she'd be mechuy misa. Bas, viti zu bas gimel shanim. And if she is considered a 3-year-old, that the bia is a bia. V'yom echad. Neman le carbon, neman, that if there was b'shaigid, it would be a chiv carbon. Avaloi le makas loinshim. There's never an amonis that the Torah gives to the father for punishment. And says the Gemara, we learned such a braisa. Tanya kavasid rav chizda. Beniza ben yud gimel shana v'yom echad. Bitiza bas yud bei shana v'yom echad. My son is 13 years old. My daughter is 12 years old. Neman unadorim l'charomim. That the nether they make is considered a valid nether. The chayrim is a valid chayrim. The hegdish and the erchim are considered valid hegdish and erchim. Avloy l'makas v'anshim. We don't believe them to the degree that they would get Einshim as a godel. So the question obviously is, so at what point do we consider a person certainly a godel that he should be Mechuyiv Einshim? If nobody's trusted to say that they're Bar Mitzvah. So Taisus answers, if we see a person that looks like an adult, then we know he's an adult. Or Taisa says, if there's ribui saris, we know that to be considered a godly, you have to have shtei saris, pos samakim, but if there's a whole full area of hair, then we know that for sure the person's a godly. Here we have a very fundamental machlokes rishonim. What does it mean that the fathers believed? Two extreme pshatim. One pshat is that the Torah gives a special nemonis to the father. A father has a right to say, my child is a bar mitzvah. That's one way. Or it goes the other way. Everybody's believed to say that this child is a godly. But we would say that the father should not be believed because I'm a close relative to my son, to my daughter, teaches us the Torah that even the father's believed. Where is this relevant? Very relevant, Shiloh. We have a child in the shul, and we don't know if he's bar mitzvah or not. So his father is there. He says, yeah, he's a bar mitzvah. The question is, the father's not there, but there's somebody else there. Does that person have the same nemonis like a father? If we say it's a special din that the Torah gave to the father, then it's only a father who's believed as an eid echad. Everybody else, you would have to have two eidim that could testify the boy is a bar mitzvah. But if we say everybody certainly believed, it's the chiddush is that even the fathers believed, so only one person could say that this person is a bar mitzvah and it's enough. But then the Pesach can discuss another very common shaila. You have a situation where you have a minyan and you have a child there, you have a boy, a young boy, and you ask him, are you bar mitzvah? He says, yeah, I'm a bar mitzvah. He says, oh, we have minyan. So the question is, how can we trust the child? Maybe he's not bar mitzvah. He certainly doesn't have namonis if he's below bar mitzvah. So the Paiskim discussed the shayla. It comes up. And the Paiskim answered two answers. One answer is that if he's the tenth to the minyan, the halacha is, but the evid, you could rely on nine gedolim and one katan. So what's the worst case scenario? That he's a katan, nishkeferlich. Another psak is, another reason why we could believe him, is that since it's a milsa David leguya, the child says he's bar mitzvah. But we're going to be able to ask his father, is he really bar mitzvah? So since it's a milsa David leguya, if he's saying the truth, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, we could trust him.